from America Soccer Now. He is Brian Chiaretta. He joins us from New Jersey. Brian, how are you?
Doing great, Glenn. Thanks, as always, for having me on, and the pleasure is all mine.
Well, this is a perfect day to have Brian Chiaretta on. By the way, how's everything in the Garden State up there?
It's gotten a lot colder, man. Oh, man, is it? It was rainy earlier in the week, but now it's just cold. Winter is here.
But are we getting? We're not getting some of that nice fall weather yet, huh?
Well, we had it. I think it's already made like the transition. It's great foliage though this year.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we got a little cooler weather here, so that's why my seasons are all off. I'm remembering now. You're getting into the winter, and we're into the fall. But let's talk about the big news today. Greg Berhalter, the U.S. They announced the roster that's going to play against Wales on November 12th, Panama on November 16th. You know, we put some details about this out on the show, but this is an incredibly intriguing roster, just simply from, and I'm not trying to blow some of these guys up before they deserve to be blown up or need to be blown up, but just to see where some of these young talents are positioned to me is pretty remarkable, Brian.
Yeah, it is an exciting time. I think, you know, it's never been rare for Americans to be at big clubs at the youth levels. You know, some of these guys are now poking their head up into the first team, which is great. I mean, some of them are much further along than others. I mean, I generally call them, you have the core five. You know, you have McKennie, Pulisic, Reyna, Dest, and McKinney, I think. I didn't repeat myself. I think I got all five. And then after that, there tends to be a pretty big drop off, you know, in terms of guys who are, you know, at these big clubs, but where are they in relation to their playing time? You know, I think they're all on the roster. I think for now, we'll see how, you know, Adams and Pulisic progress throughout the week and whether or not a change will have to be made there. You know, and I think it is exciting to see some of these things, to see some of these players and where they're at. You know, whether they justify further call-ups after this, you know, it's going to come down to how they do in this camp and how they do, you know, moving forward with their clubs, because there's a lot of players there. I was counting earlier. I mean, we're approaching double digits of the 24 that have played fewer than 10 professional first-team games. You know, over the last 2 years, two seasons or season and a half, that's not a lot. So, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic, but there's a lot of these players, you know, have a very long way to go.
All right. 21 years of age, plus 300 days is the average age of this team. Okay. So based on the way this roster is made up, how much of this has provided opportunity to young guys because of COVID, and then how much of this is really about assessment for Greg Berhalter and getting a finger on some of these younger players that are in Europe?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, the COVID restrictions have, you know, prevent, you know, MLS players, some key MLS players, from coming in and playing, and that's too bad because there's a lot of outstanding young players in MLS that you know you would think would be on a roster like this. I mean, we see Daryl DK and Bobisi. You know, there's just the you know, Io Akinola.
I mean, maybe Eric Williamson.
Eric Williamson's been tremendous, and so has you know, and obviously you want to look at goalkeepers too, because not one of these goalkeepers on this roster today is a starter for his club. And I mean, long gone are the days when you had Friedel, Howard, Keller, and Hahnemann all playing at high levels together in Europe. So, you know, so a lot of this is COVID related in terms of getting a blended roster, but in terms of this direction to take with, and also without COVID, you would also have the U23 and U20 teams playing. And that would be also allowing to have multiple teams going at one time too. But yeah, definitely they want to take a look at young players and let them know that they're on the roster. So that's all very good. And these are low stakes friendlies too. I mean, the Wales won't have all of its best players, and Panama won't be a full strength team either. So they'll get a chance to play games that they should win too, with such a young and inexperienced roster.
Talking to Brian Chiaretta of American Soccer Now, and appreciate this getting you on the show tonight. Three goalkeepers picked, seven defenders, six midfielders, eight forwards. A couple of guys I want to talk to you about, because I think you're going to know a little bit more about them than most because of the work you do following people. I want to go first to a midfielder from Internacional in Brazil Johnny Cardoso. I've had an opportunity to watch him on TV a little bit. Tell us a little bit about him.
You know, he was from the Garden State, Danville, New Jersey. He was born here, still has family and friends up here. Moved back to Brazil when he was young. Now he's playing for Internacional. Not every game. I mean, he had some injury concerns here and there, and he's not an everyday starter for them, but he's getting enough minutes for, you know, a player of his age, 18, 19 years old, born in 2001. You know, and it's and that's a very, very, that's one of the, maybe it's one of the biggest non-European teams in the world. I mean, that's a huge club to be part of. And he's done well. I know Berhalter scouted him and brought him into the US U23 team last year, where he made his American debut, and Jason Christ raved about him. So he's, and look, he's got the U20s possibly, and next, maybe the next two U23 teams to play for as well. So that there is a benefit towards bringing in some of these players of that age range at this age. But yeah, he's a defensive midfielder. And one of the big areas of concern I have for this team, for the US team, moving forward, is backup for Tyler Adams at the number six defensive midfield position. There's not a lot of options, particularly guys who can cover ground and hit longer passes there. And Tyler's had some injury problems as well. So, you know, I think it's good to look at guys like him and Owen Odesowi, the kid from Wolves who's on this roster as well. Some guys in MLS. I think that, you know, that area, that position really needs to be explored in depth, because there's just, it's just, they need options there.
Ryan Chiaretta joining us from American Soccer Now. Okay, so Owen Odesowi, so we have a Wolves group here in Houston, Wolverhampton, and one of the guys in that group is a name, Paul LePage, and Paul has told me to keep an eye on Owen Odesowi. Is that how you pronounce it? Nigerian?
Yes, Odesowi, yes.
Odesowi. And, you know, he's been raving about him. I've never seen him play, but we're hearing tremendous things about him as a central midfield player.
Yeah, and look, I've heard tremendous things. He played for the U.S. U18 team three different times a couple years ago. And when I was talking to some of the young prospects and coaching staff about, you know, people around that team, they were raving about him. They think he's just unbelievable. The one thing, though, is that he can also play central defense. His position's not really quite settled between the defensive midfield and central defense, so that's one of these things that'll have to get sorted out in his career. You want him to be a little consistent with where he plays, not just be like a jack of all trades. You really want him to be a master at one, and then maybe have some second positions he can play. But so we'll see where he eventually settles in. But I mean, he's just a phenomenally gifted athlete, and has got a lot of good things going for him.
All right, Sergiño Dest at Barcelona now. He's been getting some regular playing time. This roster is littered with a couple of veterans that might be able to lead here, with Tim Ream, John Brooks, players like that who have been in before. Take me into another player that has really been talked about quite a lot here, because I think he's made a level of commitment to the U.S. at least for this camp, not full-time yet, but that's the Valencia player, Yunus. Talk to me a little bit about him.
Yeah, Yunus Musua was born in New York, you know, and I have never spoken with him, and it always helps. And I usually speak with a lot of these dual nationals at an early age. I have not spoken with him, so it's tough to know, like, his commitment or attachment to the United States. I read an interview once where he said, "I was only born in the U.S. because my mom went there on a holiday." I mean, doesn't sound like he's too attached to the U.S., but he also moved from U.S. To Italy to England. You know, he was a star in the Arsenal Academy, but instead made a bolt for Valencia. Has already made his first team debut and scored, you know, in La Liga. And that's a big stage for Valencia in La Liga. And, you know, he's playing as an outside midfielder, but eventually the club and Berhalter, I believe, see him playing centrally, box to box, but a guy who can cover a ton of ground. I mean, he's so athletic and he's got some skill, and he's so young too as well. So, you know, they got themselves a real athlete on their hands, and we'll see where his international future is beyond after this camp. I mean, Berhalter was quite clear today in the press conference that you know, they hope it's with the U.S. his U.S. future, but that remains to be seen. So, but look, they got their foot in the door with them. They're talking. They have a chance to make a strong and good first impression. I think that's really all you can ask for. Job well done with him.
Valencia currently 13 out of the 20 teams in the Liga. But okay, so where is the point where we have to be careful about overblowing some of these players right now and finding that balance between being excited as American soccer fans, but also making sure that we, you know, we have the tendency to blow people up very, very quickly here at very, very young ages when they're still in their developmental stage. So where is the fine line there in balance with this roster to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great question. And you know, I think, you know, like I said earlier in the show, you know, this is there's been a lot of club players at big clubs, you know, Americans at big clubs before. And for whatever reason, they just don't materialize. And, you know, you can talk a lot about the players who go over there into these clubs and just don't make it. And I've seen even players who even then get on the first team and play a couple of games and then next thing you know, they're gone. They just don't stick around. But we're still at a lot of players here on this team that they're just not regulars yet. And maybe they will be, maybe they won't be. So it's always, you have to be very cautious in how you blow these guys up. Don't say like, you know, Uli Lanez is, you know, don't write him in ink on the 23 man roster for the 2022 World Cup or even World Cup qualifiers. I mean, we're dealing with a guy who's only come off the bench for a few late minutes at Heerenveen while he's on loan from Wolfsburg. You know, and even Tim Weah, who's not making the match day roster right now at Lille. So these are players that I don't think a lot of people are familiar with, but you know, you also have to see where the proof is in the pudding. I mentioned those core five players. That's different. There's genuine incitement when a guy's, you know, an everyday starter or first one off the bench for a Champions League team. I mean, there's a huge gap between there and then, you know, Chris Richards has a lot of promise. Tab Ramos raved about him with the USU 20 team, but where are the games going to be on a regular basis for him? We don't know. So you know, until players really prove that they're, you know, where the minutes are going to be for them and that they're going to be consistent, you know, the gap between being around the first team and being on the first team and getting minutes is huge. So you have to kind of respect that gap when you talk about the hype on some of these players.
Yeah, talk about that hype a little bit further when it comes to media in this country. Are we too quick to anoint people? How do you think the media has handled, like, let's say, a Gio Reyna and a Christian Pulisic?
I mean, Gio Reyna and Christian Pulisic just have answered all the questions at a very early age. You know, when you're 17 years old and you're starting in like the number 10 position, you're the creative offensive engine for a Borussia Dortmund. I mean, you can't control like hype around that. I mean, that puts him up there as one of the best 2002 born players in the world at this point. I mean, really, that's an amazing accomplishment for someone that age. And then, you know, that's, the hype is justified there. And same thing with Pulisic. I mean, from 17 years old, he was starting in the Champions League. I mean, those are real tangible accomplishments. I think when it gets out of control, you know, and I, in my younger days, I probably was more guilty of this, you know, than I care to admit, but you know, it's just by signing and being with teams and being affiliated with teams, you got to have to pump the brakes there. You can talk about them. You certainly want to have players on the radar, but you don't want to just start anointing them. And you have to understand that there's a lot of, you know, players at these big teams that aren't quite the level of elite prospects. They're organizational soldiers, as a friend of mine likes to use that I like. That term. Yeah. So
that's a good one.
Yeah. You have to just kind of understand the roles and read between the tea lines. And if you do write about them, keep it open-ended, like just talk, respect that gap of where they have to, they're maybe in a nice position, but where is that gap? I mean, you know, I could talk a lot about players who just, you know, who were at that level and just never made it, you know, so you just have to kind of understand these things and kind of sound like a wet blanket when you do talk about them, but that's probably the most accurate thing to do.
Well, listen, this is a roster that's really intriguing. It has a long range from guys that have been in the international game, the Brookses, the Reams, the ones that are established like Pulisic and Gio Reyna now. And then it goes down to guys that maybe, you know, Yunus Musa at Valencia and others that we don't know as much about, Johnny Cardoso. So I think it's really, really intriguing. It's pretty outstanding and exciting. I don't think there's anything wrong with getting excited. By the way, Reggie Cannon in there, who played for Boavista yesterday, who defeated Benfica, got a goal from Albert Elise, too, the former Dynamo. So exciting. I think there has never been a time in U.S. Soccer history where you've had a lineup and a roster that's had players from Barcelona, Fulham, Bayern Munich, Borussia Dortmund, Wolverhampton, Juventus. It is pretty incredible. Don't you think it's a bit of a statement?
Yeah, I mean, it is a statement that I mean, I think a lot of these guys are in around the first team. There's no one that's completely buried at any one of these clubs, which is, you know, saying something amazing. I think it's certainly fair to be excited about this roster. Let's see what the kids can do, because they're playing against winnable opponents here where they can probably show their stuff. But I think that there is a long way to go for these guys to be regulars with the national team once the entire selection, becomes available at their disposal. And these guys could all get bumped by other players quickly. A lot of them can be, but I mean, for this time, just enjoy the ride. I think it's going to be fun, and we'll see where it takes us heading into 2021.
Put this in perspective. It is incredible competition for these players to get where they are, and it is pretty remarkable when you really think about it. He's Brian Ciaretta, American Soccer Now. Brian, thank you so much for coming on. We always love having you on the show. We'll do it again real soon, and maybe we'll get you back on after these two friendlies.
I can't wait, Glenn, anytime you need.
All right, he's Brian Ciaretta. Big thank you for Brian to come on the show tonight.